This week preparing a message, and yet this morning the Lord said he wanted to do something different, okay? We're in the middle of Easter, so it's important to talk about the resurrection, etc. However, it is Mother's Day, and what the Lord wants us to do this morning, I want us to tell a story or two about your mother, your mother-in-law, your grandmother, somebody that would be a mother to you, a Mother's Day story from your life, okay? Debbie's going to go first, but while y'all are thinking about what to say about mothers, let me read you a new survey that was done. Now, listen to this. They do these surveys, and it just doesn't sound right to me. An overwhelming percentage of Americans, 83%, are sure there is a God who answers prayer. But that doesn't mean they all favor an official National Day of Prayer that promotes Christianity. Now, the 6th was the National Day of Prayer. Did y'all pray for the nation? Debbie had a dream that night about holding Obama's hand and telling him, I am praying for you, President Obama. I am praying for this nation, for good things to come to this nation. And she was telling me about it. I said, well, you know, it's the National Day of Prayer. She goes, see, that's God reminding me we need to pray for our nation. According to USA Today Gallup poll of 1,000 adults, most Americans, 92%, say there is a God. Do 92% of the people you know act like there's a God? 83% say that God answers prayer. It's hard to believe. The survey also asked two groups of 500 people each a question about the National Day of Prayer. One group, they ask, are you in favor of National Day of Prayer, or it doesn't matter, or whatever, you're against it. 57% of adults said they were in favor of a National Day of Prayer. 38% said they couldn't care less. 83% of the people that say God answers prayer, but 38%, who cares? And then 4.5% actually opposed a National Day of Prayer. You know, they nearly canceled the National Day of Prayer. Judge said it's not constitutional to have such a holiday. Only 4.5% of the people think that's a bad idea. Those most strongly in favor of a National Day of Prayer were Republicans, or women over 50, or Midwesterners, or Southerners. And then they ask another group of folks, do you think that the National Day of Prayer should publicize or promote Christianity? And 62% said, yes, it should. And 36% said, no, it should not. Most strongly in favor of promoting Christianity, of course, were Protestants and Catholics. And the people who had no religious preference were the most strongly opposed to supporting Christianity. Gee, what a surprise there, right? You know, somehow if 83% of folks think God answers prayer, 93% think there's a God, you would just think that they would be somehow interested in finding out who this God is and making sure they're serving him and making sure they're praying so he can answer prayer for them. Well, let's tell stories about mothers, okay? I think this ought to be interesting this morning. Debbie, you want to go first?
Mother's Day. I remember growing up, and one of the reasons why I'm wearing this corsage today, it reminds me, I'm wearing an orchid, it reminds me of all the Sundays that I celebrated with my mom where she always bought us orchids and we wore them to church. And if your mother was already passed on, the orchid would be white. My mom has passed on this year, but she's alive to me. Right, she's just asleep. But Mother's Day is special because mothers are the ones that wipe your tushy, that clean up your messes. Not that dads don't give you hugs and stuff, but moms are the more nurturing. I had really basically three mothers as I was growing up. I had a biological mother, and she lived in California. I didn't know her very well because I was raised by my aunt, her sister, who was my mom. She was the one that cleaned up the messes and did everything. So biologically, she may not have been my mother, but she was my mother in every other respect. She nurtured me. She taught me. She took me to church. She did all the things that gave me that foundation that I have today. And then I had another mom that I called her Mama Wilson. She took care of me when I was little while my mom went to work. And she taught me a lot of caring and things during the day, caring of animals and stuff. But my mom, being passed away now, I miss her very much. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that their moms have passed on. But they remain, nonetheless, the ones that helped develop our foundations. And I'm really thankful that I had a good Christian foundation. I know, for instance, that my biological mother, she always prayed for me. Out of 8 children, I was the 7th child, and I had one other sister, so all of them were boys, but me and Brenda. So she missed me, but you know, I found out a few years ago that my aunt, my mom, that raised me from the time I was 1, she actually kind of stole me from my biological mother. She thought, she's got enough kids, she won't miss one, you know? My biological mother was sick, and she had just had my little brother and surgery on top of that. So she couldn't really take care of me because I was running around in diapers. So my aunt took me and for a few weeks. And then when it came time for me to go home, she said, oh, could I keep Debbie for just a few more weeks, a little longer. And then, so she kept me a little longer. My mother hesitated, but she let her sister take me. And then whenever they would come through town in Indianapolis, my mom would just somehow be away with me somewhere, and we wouldn't be home. And we didn't have cell phones then. We didn't have readily available communication. So it's not like when my mother and father would come through town, they could find me. So it went on for months and months and years, and then finally, I was adopted just a few years ago, actually. I'm in my older age, but it made me feel a little more complete to be adopted. And my biological mother passed away soon after that. Having 3 mothers or 2 mothers is interesting, that they both loved me. They both served God. I was like, what is it? Who was it? Joseph and his brothers threw him in the hole? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like I was taken to Egypt for a time later to come back to my family, because I was raised very differently than my brothers and sisters. And out of all of them, I serve God along with 2 brothers, and that's it. My sister acknowledges prayer. She prays and acknowledges God, but she doesn't go to church. So out of all of those siblings, I'm very thankful for my upbringing. Raise your kids in the admonition of the Lord.
Come on, Grace, you're next.
Praise God. I know we all have much to say about mother. When I think about my mom, sometimes I even cry when I pray for her, when I know that we were so many in our family, 14 kids. When I think of how she raised us, how she worked hard for us, making sure that every morning we had something to eat before we go to school. So she was trying to either go and look for some aloe root, I don't know how you call it here, or sweet potatoes, or burn some corn, which they taste good.
Roasted corn.
Yeah, roast. Or make some porridge for us, at least to have something to take with us, you know, because of walking, how many miles? Probably 3 miles or 5 miles in the morning to get to school, sometimes with no shoes. I'm not going to promise that we had shoes when I was in primary school. So I always thank God of her. When I became a mother, when my little children were small, it didn't make sense. Now I can feel how my mom was feeling when we were growing up. Because of her having us, I think we are either 1 year apart or 2. Because she stayed like 15 years without having children. So when she started, she didn't stop. I think God was trying to double the years she missed every year. So now I have teenagers. I always sit back and figure out, what did she do with all of us? You know, taking care of us. And when I was in high school, she was still washing our clothes. I'll leave 1 blouse because I remember I think I had 2 skirts. So when I was in high school, I was given a gift for being one of the clean person. That means by the time I come from school, she was washing 1 blouse and 1 skirt. And then she used to cook food and line them on the table with your plate. We used to know our plate. And me and my sister, we were twins. So mine and my sister, they were always matching together. But anyway, let me say, a mother is a gift from God. And if there is someone that needs to be appreciated in our daily life, it's mothers. They do a lot. I don't think this world, the world without mothers. when you know that a woman is the one who carried Jesus, our Savior, in her womb. So a woman is a woman that God appointed and anointed from the very first beginning. But I feel sorry for the cultures that they don't appreciate women's role. They think women, they need to be somewhere behind. They cannot speak out. But I believe they have something they can bring to the world because they know how to be patient, even with their children. Because my mom, she's still very healthy with no any problem with her body. But you can tell if it wasn't for the prayers that she was praying, she couldn't make it. And I know my dad, he was a Christian, but I don't think believe he was devoted in prayers. Because many times at the times, men, I'm not against them, but they don't know much about what is going on than women. We might know at the same time, but we might be like having double of the things. Because I know, especially back home where it's hard to get some food, so it's always good to appreciate here that you can go to the pantry, come out with the food, go to fridge, come out with the food. Food in Africa, no pantry, no refrigerator. Thank God now we do have them, but not all of us. So that means we don't have much food. But a woman is always ready to bring something on the table. I always have a heart of a woman. I cannot tell you how many times I go before the Lord and pray and cry and tell the Lord, if only you can remember a woman who is serving, who cannot put the food on the table. I don't like hearing Lawrence giving testimony of how they grew up, because I'll cry. I'll tell him, stop. Because I remember he said one day that the mother put the water in a pot to boil, but she knew she didn't have any flour to make ugali. So she let the water boil until the water dried up. And then by the time the water was still boiling, they fell asleep. So they forgot they were waiting for the food. And they found themselves in the morning. So you can tell the faith that woman had, that probably something will happen or someone will knock the door. But when it comes to my mother, we have never gone hungry for 10 kids. She worked so hard. She did everything to make sure that we have something, even if it's one meal. We have survived with one meal. Today, I can even go days without food. Food doesn't make sense to me sometimes because I've learned to go without. So I'm so grateful that my mom is alive. When I think of her, I become patient with my children because I cannot even figure out what she did with teenagers. Even I flashed back to remember the days probably I cheated her. Like I'm going there, but my mind was not going there, you know? So I thank God for mothers, and my prayer is that may the Lord continue to give them strength in their daily life because of what they do, because of devoting themselves to their children. Even now I know we have brothers, they don't act like grown-up. Sometimes I'll talk to my mom and she'll tell me how depressed she is. But I always tell them, you take for granted. I was called by another lady on Friday, and she was in tears. She called me from Alabama. She's a grown woman, I believe, because her son is over 35. And she was crying, crying. Sister Grace, I need prayers. Now it's Mother's Day. I lost my mom last year. I can't believe now. She was recalling every single item, huh? Mother did, and here comes Mother's Day and the mom is no more. And I was telling her, you need to persevere, devote yourself to the Lord, that one day you come to see your mom, because she cannot come back here. But I felt in the spirit probably she was going through either addiction or she had some things she was trying to let them go. That's why she was remembering mama. She was remembering, it's only mama I can go, and she's married. So mother means a lot, and may God continue to bless mothers.
I don't have much, but she always found a way to be creative. Like yesterday, she drew drawings on the sidewalk with the water. She always cared for us and always fed us. She cooked the best food. Not sure how she does it, but she always made sure that whenever somebody got hurt, she would comfort us and cheer us up so we wouldn't feel bad anymore. She was sweet and loving.
Yeah, she is a sweet and loving mommy. And Hannah's using the past tense, but her mommy is still alive.
Well, I don't have much to say about my mommy, too, but, sometimes my mom is sometimes working hard, caring, and loving. And sometimes after she does all the work, she either sleeps, reads, or comes down to watch TV at the middle of the night. That's all.
Okay, who's next?
My mother. I was 20 when I had Garen, and she was 20 when she had me. So with raising Garen, I've come to appreciate the things that she did for me and my sister. I remember she would always, like my grandmother said, wherever she was, me and my sister were. She would always take us everywhere she went. And she worked full time, and she kept us, you know, we never went without food or clothing or shelter. She always made sure we had that. And me and my sister are 22 months apart, and I remember going to elementary school because she thought it was so cute that she dressed us alike. And I was about Garen's age, and it would embarrass me so bad when she took me to school because all the teachers would go, oh, look how cute, like the little Bobbsey twins. So I just remember doing that, and I remember she had a gold Trans Am with T-tops. She'd take us to school. This is back in the 80s every day in it. But I've come to appreciate all my mother's done for me. I moved out here to Charlotte to be with her 4 years ago, and she's helped me a lot with Garen and working and stuff like that. And my grandmother's also played a key part. You know, when we were reading in Revelation, I used to go stay every summer with my grandmother, my Mama Ritter Laverne, and her sisters. And I remember them singing gospel songs on the porch every day. They'd all meet to sing gospel songs. And I remember my grandmother telling me that same story word by word in Revelation. So that was pretty interesting. And then my Mama Lay, which I call her my Mama Reed because I couldn't say Lay when I was younger, and her name's Marie. So I remember she helped raise me too during the summer while my mom was working, and she got me interested in being a nurse because she worked for Fort Sanders for 50-something years in the newborn nursery. So I remember her taking me up there, and I thought it was so cool. I thought I was cool because I got to go meet all the doctors and everything. And my grandmother, she always, when you ask the question about something, this is my Mama Lay, she would always tell you the medical reason behind everything. She was very intelligent. That's all I have to say about I really had three mothers, both my grandmother and my mother, so they're all very special to me, and thank goodness I still have them around today. I'm very blessed.
Well, I have a very long story about my mother. I'm going to try to highlight it. She was the product of a mother-only home. Her father was killed in a tragic accident when my grandmother was only 6 weeks pregnant with my mother. She was the third child. She was the runt of the family, and maybe because of the anxiety during the pregnancy or whatever. She was never an exceedingly robust person, but she and my father married. She had two boys, my older brothers, 10, 11 years older than me, and then I came along. 2 years after me, my sister came along. When my sister was born, the process ruptured her femoral artery, and she died on the table. She had an out-of-the-body experience that was just, let's just say that out-of-the-body experience. I can give you all the details, but very elaborate and clear. But as she was so comfortable and said, why is everyone so distressed? Here I am lying on the table. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, she was going to the heavenly host up the white tornado tunnel going in, just the classic story of out-of-the-body experience stories. And she saw in the waiting room, she saw the little baby girl. She saw my father holding me, a baby, and the two boys. And she said, oh, her heart just fell right there. And she just said, let me raise these children. Billy can never do it alone. Okay. Historically, according to those of us here in this body, they gave up on her. They were walking out of the operating room, or the room where she had given birth to the daughter. And one of them said, well, wait a minute. There's a vein in her foot. What had happened? Her veins had collapsed, and they couldn't get blood into her. They grabbed her ankle, got a needle into that vein in her foot, started pumping blood in her, resuscitated her. She came back. One of the most amazing to me because everyone's mother is the most amazing because that's our first-hand experience. But I thank the Lord every day that we were all raised Christians. We all followed the Christian way. Not everyone raised a Christian follows the Christian way. Just the thoughtfulness of the children. We'd be in a car, and every time she'd come to a stoplight, her arm was out to keep us. Mom, I don't, you know, what are you doing? Before the days of seatbelts, she finally explained she was always afraid of an impact or that we would be thrown forward against the metal dashboard of the cars. I mean, that's just an example of just the total sacrifice. Well, I was a young man when I lost my mother, and I had an epiphany the day before she died. I was in Miami, Florida. She was in Asheville. And I zoomed home, and there she was in the intensive care. Big smile. All the pain was gone. And she said, I knew you'd make it. You're the last. We had wonderful closure. And she just said, you know, follow the Lord. Look after each other. You were raised to love each other, meaning my brothers and my sister. And she said, my prayer, my request has been answered completely. This was 2 years after my sister was married. And so we were all into the world. Her prayer was answered, and the Lord took her. A wonderful, loved by all woman. I don't know what else I can say.
If you haven't figured it out, we're telling stories about mothers. Come on, Travis, you're up.
My mom's a very unique person. She's always there for us. She always tried to do as much as she can. Took us, went and practiced, worked at the scout camp, took us to scouting events and everything like that. You know, when Dad was working and everything, she's always watching out for other people. I remember spring breaks when it seemed like all the neighborhood kids were there. Because Mom would watch them, we 9, 10 kids running around. She's always been there, you know, always somebody to talk to, still talk to her about every day. You know, doesn't always give the best advice, but she gives what she thinks is right. Sometimes she'll just keep on asking the same thing over and over. It's like, Mom, come on, seriously. You know, she takes care of Dad. You know, when we come in, we always get meals and food and everything like that. Yeah, she's a very good cook, you know, and she treats my wife and Garen like they were her own. She's good at what she does. She's good at being a mom.
All right. I'm just going to basically go back to memories. But I remember as a kid, we were playing poker and, you know, like pennies and stuff like that. And I ran out of pennies and she gave me a big bag of pennies, but there was 100 pennies in there. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm rich. I don't know why that, you know, I always remember that. And then the paper airplanes. I couldn't make a paper airplane. Everybody was downstairs in the basement, you know, throwing planes. And the same plane I make all the time is actually the one she showed me how to make. But that might be because I asked her about 50 times a day. But with Mom, with Debbie, with that, I remember actually when you all were living at the apartment, went over there, and I thought she was kind of crazy because I remember going over there, sitting down, we had dinner, you know, we were actually talking to her. And I was like, I don't want to come over and sit down and talk with your mom, because, you know, I wasn't used to that. We were probably there for about 3 hours just talking. And that was just odd to me to actually sit there and talk to a parent. I never actually sat down and had a real conversation before. So maybe that was one of my biggest draws to y'all.
Okay. Well, Mom always tells me how, you know, she feels that, oh, she didn't do a good job here. She lacked there and things like that. And I always remember how Mom always played with me and always did great things for me. And she thinks that she never did. But, you know, my memories are very different of my mom. And the teenage years, you know, we butt heads a lot. But through all of it, my mom was always my best friend. So, and she's still a really good friend and always gives good advice. And she's always there no matter what, willing to do whatever, still setting a great example, even as an adult.
I'm going to tell you a story of two mothers. And I'm going to leave names and relationships out. I don't want it to be a downer, because normally on Mother's Day you want to say all the good things about mothers, but I want to provide a warning for mothers. This story is of mothers that all their lives they were never happy with what they had. The house just wasn't good enough, and they were always wanting to remodel this and change that and move to a different house, get a bigger house, smaller house, remodel whatever, always involved with that. And I think to some extent, they had allowed themselves to get trapped by materialism. And there was a little bit of a spirit of materialism that was driving both of these mothers. And in both cases, I was there near their time of death, and both of these mothers weren't ready to go. They were in their 80s, and yet they were Christians. They'd been serving God all their lives. I'm not ready to go yet. I still want to. And they would talk about some kind of remodeling project that they had, that they wanted. I want to go home and get the light installed in the kitchen. One of them, about the time she goes into the hospital for her last illness, she decides to do a $10,000 remodeling job on her house and replace all of the floors with some of the finest Spanish tile you can imagine. I mean, this is the stuff that you can't break it, you can't cut it, you know, it's just incredible stuff. $10,000 worth of new floors. And when we bring her home from the hospital for hospice to help take over, we have to make sure that we're cleaning everything off and getting her bedroom floored first so that we can put her in there in her bed while we finish tiling the rest of the house. I mean, and then 3 days later, she was gone. She just never even got the chance to see the floor. But at one point, she says, I'm not ready to go. Where's all my stuff in the hospital? She says, I want all my stuff. Bring all my stuff to the house so that when I go back to the house, all my stuff is there. You know, she wanted to clean out the storage locker and the safe deposit boxes and stuff, wanted her stuff. And the voice she used wasn't even really her voice. It was almost as if these spirits of materialism that had been driving her all of her life were still driving her. She wasn't ready. I don't want to go yet. I've got these remodeling projects I'm doing. I'm, you know, thinking about her stuff. And so let me warn you, mothers and dads, let's not let ourselves get carried away with the stuff of this world and our jobs and those kind of things, because, you know, all of that stuff is very temporary. It just doesn't last. When it comes time in your old age for somebody to take care of you, I promise you that will be nobody from work. It will be family that is taking care of you. When it comes time to think about what did I accomplish in life, it won't be about the things that we built or those things. It'll be about our children and about our families. And we need to let go of any spiritual encumbrances, any evil spirits that are influencing us in any way. Don't feed those things. Don't give in to those things. Give them up. And let's serve God with all our hearts and teach our children to do that.